Good morning, everybody. I want to start by asking you a question. How many of you would say that one of the following words, to some extent at least, sums up where your life is right now? Confused, frustrated, sick, depressed, hurt, rejected, broke, lonely, unloved. Anybody here feels that one or some of those words, maybe even all of those words, is speaking to you about your life? Okay. So, when we look at these words probably describe what at least some, if not most people, feel in some way or another. Yet, if we look at the Word of God, God's Word has a very different description of your life. You see, according to God's Word, you and I are, number one, we are loved. We are accepted. We are healed. We are prosperous. We are redeemed. We are embraced. We are delivered. And so I can go on and on and on. So what I want you to understand this morning is, a lot of people here raise their hands saying that those words speak to you about your life and where your life is to some extent. That tells me that where your life is right now and where God wants your life to be is very far removed from one another. Now the problem is not God, therefore there is a problem with you. Amen? And that needs to be addressed, that needs to be resolved, that needs to be sorted out, because we need to get you to the place that you conform to the following. You are loved, you are accepted, you are healed, you are prosperous, you are redeemed, you are embraced, you are delivered. You need to come to the place that you can truly say, for I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Now, probably some of you, when I was talking about these words, were thinking to yourself, wow, that sounds very nice, but that's not where I am, and I also don't really know how to get myself to that place. Well, you see, the good news is that if your reality is not that at this point in time, God is more than willing to help you to get to the place that your reality will be what the Word of God says you are. Help me out. What does the Bible say about God? Does God lie? You know, the Bible says, for God is not a man that he should lie. Thing is, just because God says something doesn't mean it will come to pass. We know from biblical examples that there are people that received promises from God and they never walked in the fulfillment of the promise. And we can't blame God for that, because when we look at the lives of these people, the things they got up to, the things that they did, what they allowed in their heart caused them to be robbed of the promise of God. You see, we also have to bring ourselves to a place that we come in line with the promises of God, and then we begin to walk the way God expects us to walk to receive the promise of God. Amen? I want to put it to you this way. The promises of God are conditional. And until we don't meet the conditions, we also can't step into and walk in the promise of God. Now, the good news is that you can come to a place that you begin to live this reality if you begin to have faith in Almighty God. And I want to use the word Almighty because we need to understand that God is bigger than any problem that you have right now. And I'm aware of what's going on in some of your lives. And I know that some of you are facing massive big problems at this point in time. And I'm pretty sure that the devil has been talking to you about your problems, telling you, giving you 100 good reasons why it is not going to change. It is not going to get any better. But the one thing that he never mentions is the size of God. And you see, this is the thing. When we get so focused on our problems and the size of our problems, the number of our problems, how long they've been around, we can quickly forget that God is almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent, and then we begin to sink into the doldrums of despair. What we need to do is we need to get to a place that we get to faith. Amen? And have faith in Almighty God that can sort out any problem. We must have faith in Almighty God, and we must have faith in His Word. You must understand something. If the Word says you can be something, you can. If the Word says you can do something, you can. But there is this key ingredient that is necessary to move you to that place. It is called faith. And it is something that, even though it costs you nothing, seems to be extremely difficult for people to attain. So what then is faith? Well, the Bible gives us a very, very good explanation. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." And then in verse 2, it actually says, "This is what the ancients were commended for." If you've ever read Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of what we would loosely term God's generals of faith. It speaks of people like David. It speaks of people like Moses. It speaks of people like Abraham, etc., etc., and how they had to, in a sense, walk on water and trust God that because God said something, it would be, even though all the circumstances said it will never happen. Do you remember when God told Abraham that he was going to have children? You understand that he was 100 years old, roughly, something, give or take. And his wife was 90. And you know what? I'm pretty sure everything in the plumbing department had ceased a long time ago, etc., etc. Which is probably why his wife started laughing when she heard the comments. But the fact of the matter is, when God says something, it will come to pass if you have faith. Now, even though Sarah didn't have faith, Abraham was a man of faith. He had the capacity to trust God. You see, faith is the ability to believe what God says rather than believe your circumstances. It is the ability to believe what God's promises say is true rather than to believe what the world economists or whatever say. If God says you're going to be blessed, you can be blessed in the midst of the biggest recession that the world has ever seen. Amen. If God says that you are going to be healed, you can be healed even if you have stage 4 or stage 5 cancer. Even if the doctor has told you to call the priest and come and read your last rites. Because God can save. You know what? In the case of Lazarus, apparently God was too late. But even for God, too late is never too late. Because 4 days later, he rose from the grave. And he still walked the earth. And his testimony still touched the hearts of a lot of people. But the ingredient that is necessary to make all of this work is faith. And you see, here's the thing. This is just my personal opinion, and I'm not saying that I'm always right. I could be very wrong, but I have a feeling in the biblical days it was a bit easier for people to have faith. Because there was not other rubbish that demanded your attention and got you to sort of, to some extent, put belief in it. You know, today we've got a lot of other things that could maybe make a difference, that could maybe help. And many times, instead of focusing on God, instead of putting God first, whether it be with your health, whether it be with your finances, whether it be with relationships or with your children or whatever the case might be, there's always something worldly out there that promises it can solve your problem. Now, the thing is, the only one that can truly solve your problem is God. And what the enemy does in the day and age that we live in is he's always trying to point us towards something else that we can take the faith that should be in God. Because if our faith is in God, there is something magical that happens. And I don't mean that in like an occultic way. It's just an expression that something supernatural begins to happen. Faith in a doctor doesn't bring magic. Faith in some analyst doesn't bring magic. But faith in God produces something supernatural. And maybe I should rather use the word supernatural, because otherwise I'm going to have people emailing that I'm preaching nonsense. But I'm trying to just refer to something supernatural. The supernatural power of God gets involved in your circumstances, whether it be something to do with your body, to do with your mind, to do with your finances, to do with your children. And that supernatural power can only be released when faith is in line with God and not with something worldly. Now you must understand, right now the devil is very busy getting people's focus away from God and onto all sorts of other things, even occultic things. You will not believe how many Christians go to fortune tellers, go to witch doctors, go to spiritists, go to mediums. You know, there's a program on DSTV. It's called Paranormal Survivor. I don't know if any of you have watched it. Me, I find it very intriguing because I deal with this type of stuff. So it's interesting to see what's out there and how people deal with this stuff. And you know what I find just truly, truly amazing? Here we have all of these people that they bothered by spirits. You know, they bothered by demons. Some of them will refer to it as their grandmother and their uncle and their auntie and, you know, whatever. But biblically, it's just demons. Because people don't hang around on earth. People go to heaven or go to hell based on the decision that they made. But demons hang around, yeah, and demons do walk the earth. And they're always looking for a way to give somebody a hard time. And many times, especially when you move into a new house, you pick up all sorts of problems and all sorts of drama because there is residue of what happened in the house before. Imagine if somebody was murdered in the house before you moved in there. The trauma that happened in the house, the spiritual defilement that took place in that house opens a door and something begins to walk there. Now, these people are tormented by spirits. Do you know that in hardly any of these cases do they involve the Word of God to sort the problem? They bring in a spiritist, they bring in a medium, they come and do a seance, they come and do some Ouija board stuff, spirit boards come and speak, and it's all occultic stuff, and 9 times out of 10, there is no change. In fact, in many of these cases, it's just worse after the people leave there. Fact of the matter is, if you put your faith in anything other than God, you are not going to get the result that you are looking for. You want to be healed? You might go to the doctor, but your faith better not be in the doctor. It better be in God first. Okay? When you're going through financial problems, and even if you have to go and talk to the bank manager, your faith better not be in the bank manager. Your faith better be in God, because otherwise God will not walk into that office with you and grant you favor. Do you understand where I'm trying to go with this? We need to have faith in God. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. Abraham, when he was told that he would have children and when he was told that he would have descendants as much as the stars in the heaven and the sands on the seashore, and he knew that he was barren and his wife couldn't have children and they were past the age, he did not doubt. Not because of his ability, but because of who spoke to him. He knew that the person speaking to him, being God, was able to make this come to pass. Faith has nothing to do with your ability and everything to do with God's ability. It kind of removes you from the situation and puts God there. Your faith is in God. He will make it happen. So, what or who we place our confidence in is going to determine where we're going to end up. Some people will be successful in life. Some people won't. Some people will get healed in life. Some people won't. Some people will be prosperous in life. Some people won't. Some people will achieve the breakthrough that they are fighting for, and some people won't. What is the difference? The Bible calls it faith. But now I want you to listen carefully. Some trust or believe in people. Some trust or believe in riches, money, whatever. Some trust or believe in sorcery, black magic, the occult, the whole toot. Other people believe in themselves, but that is a problem. Because it is only those who believe in God. They are the ones who will not be put to shame. They are the ones that will be able to testify one day that God never fails. So faith has nothing to do with what you can do. Look at your neighbor and say, it's got nothing to do with you. And it's got nothing to do with what you can do. It has everything to do with who you believe in. Listen to me. And this is what I think a lot of people don't understand. I mean, take David. David was a 16-year-old boy. David was still wet behind the ears. If he was living in today's age, he hadn't even started shaving yet. He was a little boy still. He had 1 foot in the adult world and 1 foot still squarely in childhood. Yet he could walk up to Goliath and challenge him with confidence, not because he knew he was a good warrior, not because he had a track record that he'd knocked out 100 other giants. I mean, there was nothing like that in his resume, but he knew who God was. His confidence wasn't in his ability. His confidence wasn't in his weapon. His confidence was in God. That was reckoned to him as faith, and because of faith. Let's put it to you this way. I wasn't there, and I'm not claiming that what I'm saying is right. I just want to try and show you how this could have happened. So there goes David. He's dropping off there. He's going to confront Goliath. Chances are that when he swung that slingshot or whatever you call it, he was going to miss by a mile. But because he had faith in God, God said, man, I better back him up because he's got faith in me. And when the stone was supposed to go that way and he was sending it that way, God's hand just went whoosh, and it went straight, it went true, and it hit him squarely between the eyes. Who made the shot? God made the shot. It wasn't David. In fact, David's ability had nothing to do with it. And you know what? There is also a good chance that David never had the strength or the power to kill that oak in the first place. But one from God, and it went right through his skull. Because David's faith was in God, not in his ability. And you know what? That's what God wants to see in us. You know, many times you look at something and you're like, oh, but I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. No, you can't, but God can. And that's your problem. You are looking at it from your perspective. Oh, I've just started a business and it doesn't look like things are going to happen for me. Stop looking at yourself. Start looking at God. Amen. What will God do for you? Have faith in Him and doors will open for you. It's not your abilities. You know, some people get somewhere in life through association. We all know that sometimes it's got to do with who you know, not always what you know. Now, I want to tell you something. You and I are in a very privileged position. Because we don't know a man, we know the man. Amen? We don't know somebody sort of high up, we know somebody way high up. We know the big, big chief. We know God. And God is willing to fight for you. God is willing to move with you. God is willing to bless you. But you need to come to a place that you understand who God is. And that you put your faith in God. Amen? David, what made him different from all the other people? When they looked at Goliath and they looked at themselves, they said, oh, I'm too small. I'm not strong enough. I'm not skilled enough. Oh, he's too big for me. David compared Goliath to God. And David said, man, this is a walkover. This oak is an idiot. He's a moron. He's stupid. He wants to challenge God. I mean, he's like a dinky toy compared to God. There can only be one outcome. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I'm going to walk out there and God's going to make a plan for me. He took that thing, he swung it, the rock went that way, God's breath came, it pushed it that way, it hit him straight between the eyes because David's faith was always in God. And God opened the door. God made the way. So, our faith in God and in God's word allows us to experience God's supernatural ability. I want you to listen to those words. God's supernatural ability to give us victory. And in victory you can put favor, blessing, healing, restoration, life, strength, power. It is God's supernatural ability to give us these things. Regardless of the size of our problem, regardless of the difficulty of our situation. Amen? You know, Mr. Wilson, where are you? Wilson had a situation about 2 years ago where his company needed to join an organization. Do you mind if I share this? His company needed to join an organization. If they could not join this organization, it was impossible for them to do the work. Somebody gave a lying report about his company because they were threatened and they were jealous. And the director of the company that had to receive him, based on the lie that they had received, told him, there's no way, forget about it, we will not accept you. I tried to go with him to go and see that man. He actually threw us out of his office like two dogs. I will not even repeat the words that he used. And I said to him, listen, yeah, the only way that we're going to get here, God's going to have to make a door, open this door for us. And I said to him, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. I don't care who this man is. He thinks he's in charge of this company. He's not. God is in charge of everything. And if God wants you in here, you're going to get in here. 1 month later, through quite a bit of supernatural movement on God's part, the same man that spoke to us like we were rubbish was as meek as a lamb. And he said, welcome. And he allowed us to come in. Can I tell you something? God worked behind the scenes. God squeezed his heart. God opened the door that the devil told that man, you keep it shut. God's voice is stronger than the devil's voice. What the world was telling that young man is impossible. God made possible. Was it difficult? In the end, no. When we put our faith in God, God opened the door. And God still does miracles. Amen. Faith brings our lives in line with God's perspective for us. Let's be very honest. Did God create any one of you to be a failure? Now, I'm open to the fact that some of you might be failing right now. But I want you to understand that in God's eyes, you are never a failure. Right now, that's where you are, but that's not your destination. And if you are failing right now, it is because somewhere you are not in line with where God wants your life to be. Faith will bring you in line with where God wants your life to be. And you will stop manifesting failure and you will start walking in victory. But God and faith in Him and faith in His Word is what's necessary to move you from where you are now to where God wants you to be. And it's not that difficult. And I want to tell you something. Faith does matter. No matter what somebody tells you, faith matters. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. So, first thing here that is very important, without faith there is no pleasing God. Therefore, all of us need to work on our faith. Because you must understand something, if you can't please God, you're going to get nowhere with God. You first need to come to the place that you begin to please God. Amen? Because that's how you start moving into the area of victory. Faith is the key to unlocking the promises of God. Abraham became a friend of God. Abraham was known as a man of faith because he walked in faith. Abraham experienced the grace of God, victory, provision, unlike probably anybody since or anybody will be. But the key element in his life, and that's why Hebrews 11 verse whatever talks about him, it was faith. He had the ability to trust God. He didn't look at the circumstances. He didn't look at the people. He didn't look at the problems. He looked at God and he said, this is easy. It's going to work. It's going to happen. It's called faith. Faith brings us into the realm of the supernatural. Now, this is very important. In the natural, there are certain things that's just the way it is. In the natural, when you release an object, it's going to fall because gravity pulls it down. In the supernatural, things can levitate. I have prayed for people. Many years ago, I prayed for a woman and I cast a spirit of epilepsy out of her. And it freaked my mind because the next thing I know, this woman is up off the floor and it looks like a scene from The Exorcist. And in front of my eyes, this woman is levitating off the ground. You see, what you have to understand is in the supernatural world, there are no limitations. In the natural world, there are limitations. And if we allow God to come into our life, It takes away a lot of the limitations that right now the world says, you can't this, you can't that, you can't this, this is not available to you, that will never happen for you. Supernatural means more powerful than the natural. That's why it is called supernatural. Samson had the ability to kill 1,000 men. You can't do that in the natural. I don't care how skilled a fighter you are, you will not slaughter 1,000 men. But when the supernatural power of God came upon him, guess what he did? He killed 1,000 men, like they were nothing. There are many things that God can enable us to do that otherwise we cannot do. But the key to getting to that place is faith. Faith brings us into the realm of the supernatural where the impossible is made possible. You know that the Bible says, for God, nothing is impossible. But there are very few people that walk in that realm where they experience the God for whom nothing is impossible, because the world doesn't have that many people that walk by faith. There's a lot of people that walk by worry. They walk by stress. They walk by anxiety. They walk by fear. They walk by confusion. But God wants men and women that walk by faith. And when you walk by faith, you begin to truly experience the supernatural power of God. Jesus walked by faith. He said, I do nothing but what I see my Father do. In what he was trying to say is, in everything, his faith is in God. And his steps are directed by God. Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles every single day of his life. To him, it was like second nature. But you know why? Because of his faith in God. If Jesus could do it, you can do it. Because he said, you can do what I did, and even greater things you will do. He wouldn't have said that if it's not possible. But what makes it difficult for us is it's sometimes easier for us to put our faith, if you can call it that, in other things. When our faith should be first and foremost and only in God. Amen. When God sees that we truly believe that he is almighty and omnipotent God, then it pleases him. And the moment you begin to please God, man, I want to tell you something. Doors are going to open for you. Things are going to happen for you. The blessings are going to flow and victory will be yours. Now, the thing with faith is not just there. Faith must be developed. Nobody becomes a child of God today and tomorrow they lay hands on people and cancer just falls out of them and people jump out of their wheelchairs and they pray for people and money just starts falling from heaven and, you know, hello? You walk a road and you get to that place, but faith has to be developed. Amen? Faith has to be developed. So, faith can be, if you like, compared to a muscle. If you don't use your muscles, what happens to your muscles? They become weak. They slowly wither away. We know that when somebody loses the ability to use their legs and they sit in a wheelchair, after a couple of years when you look at them, their legs are like that. For no other reason than for the fact that the muscles aren't being used and therefore they shrink, they disappear. The Bible says to each God has given a measure of faith. So when you get saved, some might measure, let's say the measurement is in liters. Okay. I'm just giving an example. Some might have 10 milliliters and some might have 20 liters. But the thing is, if the person with the 10 milliliters starts using it, they will get to 20 liters probably fairly quickly. But the person with the 20 liters, if they don't use it, will go down and down and down, and eventually there'll be nothing left. Because faith is not something that's just always there. Faith has to be used. Faith has to be developed. Faith has to be exercised. If you exercise your muscles, they become stronger. They become more dense. Their ability to perform becomes greater. Faith is exactly the same. If you exercise your faith, it becomes stronger. But you don't go to gym today and bench press, let's say, 20 kilograms. And you go there tomorrow and you go and lie under that 100 kilogram barbell, dumbbell, whatever, barbell. And you call Uncle Ed, hey Ed, come squat for me. Now Ed, on his best day, can maybe pick up 25 kilograms, and yesterday you nearly died with the 20. So between the two of you, you can handle 45 pushing it. Now you're going to attempt 100. What's going to happen? Well, I don't know, but the hospital's going to get a call somewhere. The ambulance is going to be directed to somebody's gym. Because the thing is, you got to grow into it. And our faith is exactly the same. You know, sometimes we get to the place that today we want to climb that mountain. Well, you know what? You will climb that mountain, but you're probably going to have to grow into it. We have to exercise our faith. And the more we exercise our faith, the more we allow God to use us in the area of faith, the more it will grow, the stronger it will be. You know what? I want to tell you something. There will come a day when you will climb that mountain. But you also have to be ready for that. A lot of people don't believe in faith because they get to a place where they get saved today, tomorrow they want to do this and that, it doesn't work for them, and they're like, this nonsense doesn't work. There's something called the gift of faith, which is not what I'm talking about now. Some people have the gift of faith. Because they have the gift of faith, there is a supernatural unction of the Holy Spirit within them, which it's like there's a lot more power involved. And sometimes you have an individual that has the gift of faith, and it's like what they speak comes to pass. But God put them together in that way. That's how God uses them. But for the rest of us, we have to grow our faith. Grow our faith. The more we use it, the stronger it becomes. When God sees that we truly... No, I'm past that. Nobody wakes up one day and just suddenly overflows with faith. There's a process involved, and if we understand the process and we work according to the process, we're going to get there just so much quicker. Now, there's a couple of things that's useful to know if you want to grow in the area of your faith. The first thing is that all faith stems from a relationship with God. But I actually want to call it a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, for he is the author and the perfecter of our faith." The perfecter of our faith. In other words, when your faith needs to be adjusted, who's the one that's going to do it? It's Jesus. Who's the one that's going to talk to the Father and say to the Father, "Oh, Father, you know what? I've been watching Uncle Ed. Yeah, man, the oak is praying. The oak is fasting. The oak is diligent. The oak is committed. He's having faith. He's walking in the power of the supernatural. It's time for him to have some reward. It's time for him to have increase." And the Father's going to say, "Man, I can't argue with that." Boom. More faith. But you've got to be walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ, because the increase will come through him. He's the author of, which means the originator of, and the perfecter of, which means he can give increase. You don't walk in a relationship with him, you will never have the increase that you are looking for. So if Jesus is both author and perfecter of our faith, it stands to reason that we better make sure that we have a strong relationship with him, and that also starts with a good prayer life. You see, the thing is, our relationship with him depends on our prayer life. Do we talk to him about our life? Do we talk to him about our problems? Do we have faith in him when we pray? It's time for us to pray. An intimate relationship with Jesus will bring us a fresh revelation of who God is, of what God is capable of in our lives. And you see, if you have a better understanding of who God is, you can trust him so much more. If you have a better understanding of what God can do, you can have faith now in your new revelation of what God is well able to do, yes, even in your own life. Through Jesus and our relationship with him, we will begin to understand who we are in Christ. You see, the thing is, each of us has an identity in Christ. There's what the world views us as, and then there's who God sees us as in Christ. And it's not the same thing. You see, here's the thing. The world saw David as a little snotkop. Okay, if you're not Afrikaans, you don't know what that means. How would I put that in English? A little brat. Yeah, wet behind the ears, not ready for nothing. God didn't see him that way. God saw him as a warrior. God saw him as a man of faith, a man of valor. And that was proven later when he stood up in faith and manifested. But you see, David spent a lot of time alone out there in the fields. And I can tell you something, even though I wasn't there, David probably spent a lot of time talking to God. He didn't have anybody else to talk to. It was him and the sheep. Now and then there was a lion, now and then there was a wolf. But the rest of the times it was him and the sheep. The sheep aren't going to talk back. So what did he do? Well, we read a lot of Psalms. Where did those Psalms come from? They were not just from when he was king. Some of them probably started when he was a young boy and he sat there in the fields and he spoke to God and he saw the beauty of God's creation. He saw how amazing God worked with nature and his heart was filled with joy and with gratitude and he communicated with God. And that brought him into a very close relationship with God. And when you have a close relationship with God, you are close to the author of faith. It's easier for you to walk in faith if you have a close relationship with God. It's extremely difficult for you to walk in faith if you don't have a relationship with God. I want to say something else about relationships. And this is definitely very, very true. We also need to cultivate the right relationships down here on earth if we want our faith to grow. You know, with all due respect, there are a lot of people in this world that are extremely negative. And they are not conducive to growing in the area of faith. One thing you must understand, the Word of God warns us that we must be careful what we allow to come into us. That we must be careful what we expose ourselves to. The Bible says in the book of, let me just read it quickly. Psalm 1. It'll give you an idea of where I'm going. I have this friend that he can't say Psalms. He calls it the Psalms. So I'm going to be reading from the Psalms and I'm going to read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Okay, the counsel of the wicked is who do you allow to speak into your life? Okay? It warns us, don't just let anybody speak into your life. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Who are the people that you allow through communication and through relationship to help you with your decision making, to influence the decisions that you make? Because if you are allowing the wrong type of people, then their, if I can call it advice, I don't know what else to really call it, their influence will often push you away from God and start making you make the stupidest decisions. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seat of the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So in other words, God says, if you want to be blessed, keep these people out of your life. The mockers, the sinners, and what was the other one? The wicked. So God's word warns us, in relationships, there are certain things you should stay away from. And I want to add to that, you know what, there are some people, they are never happy. There are some people that are always complaining, they are always bitter. And the problem is, if you allow those kind of people to speak into your life, before you know it, you become like them. Because that's just the way it is. We are influenced by what we allow ourselves to be influenced by. It's just it's a fact. So, in relationships, if you want your faith to grow, hang around with people that have faith and see how quickly your faith will grow. Because when they walk in faith and you see how God honors and blesses their faith, it encourages you to begin to walk in faith and you begin to see how God blesses and honors your faith. And it begins to feed one another. Yes, you have to have interaction with people out there. I'm not talking about just casually having something to do with them at work. I'm talking about having friendships, forming alliances, having strong relationship ties. Yes, we have to go out into the world and we have to bring sinners to salvation. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people that we hang around with, our friendship circle, our inner circle. If your inner circle is in the pit, they're going to take you into the pit. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want to grow in faith, mix with people that have faith. Amen? Now, the next thing that's very important if you want your faith to grow is the Word of God. It says in Romans 10 verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word of God. In other words, not every message will be conducive to cause your faith to grow. I want to tell you, there's a lot of messages out there that will knock your faith for a loop. There's a lot of things out there that will not be conducive to faith. But if you want your faith to grow, the message that should be filling you is the Word of God. Okay? He says here, God's Word has a profound effect on our spirits. You know that we are body, soul, and spirit, right? Okay? Our body gets fed by the food that we eat. This morning, some of you had Milly Pop, some of you had Post Toasties, some of you had Snap, Crackle, and Pop. What else is there? Some of you had toast, some of you had bacon and eggs. And some of you had the end of the month salty crack snack. What can you do? You know, that's life. But we all had something to eat, and that's going to do something for our bodies. Our spirit is exactly the same. Your spirit must be fed. Amen? And the thing that feeds our spirit is the Word of God. Nothing else can truly feed your spirit. So, if it feeds our spirit, and our spirit is where faith springs from. Now, just listen to where I'm going with this. Do you agree with me that faith is something supernatural? If it's supernatural, then it must be spiritual. Because God is supernatural, God is spiritual. And if you think about it, demons are supernatural, demons are spiritual. So, faith moves in the area of a human being that is spiritual. If your spirit is weak, your faith is weak. If your spirit becomes stronger, your faith becomes stronger. Your capacity for faith becomes stronger. If you have a very timid, tiny, weak spirit, there's no way that you're going to have strong faith, because the two are sort of, they work together. The one works with the other. So, faith is a component of the spiritual realm, and it is therefore harbored in the spirit. Faith doesn't come from your brain. It is your brain that tells you, but this can't happen. It is your spirit that says, but it can. For God, nothing is impossible. It all works through the spirit. The more we receive God's word, the more our spirit will grow. It also reveals to us how God moved in the lives of the many great men and women of God in the past, creating hope and faith in us. Sometimes you go through a very difficult situation, and when you read the Bible and you read how God made a way for David or for Gideon, or, you know, anybody in the Bible that experienced the power of God in an amazing way, it's amazing how many times when you read that, something happens in your spirit. And many times when you've read that, sometimes you burst out crying. Sometimes you just have a moment with God, and afterwards it's like, you feel different. What happened? Your spirit was strengthened. God, through the Word of God that entered you, allowed you to conquer something. And you know what was dark and bleak before suddenly is not a problem. And there you go again. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God brings faith. The next thing that's very important if you want to grow in the area of faith is called praise. Faith is not only to believe that God is able to do as He has promised. Now listen to this, because it's important. You know, faith is not only like, oh, you know what, God promised that I'm going to be healed. Faith is having the ability to believe that God has already done it. Now you see there's two different things here. The one is to believe that God said it. The other one is to believe that God, when He said it, it was already established. So in other words, I'm not going to be healed. I am healed. Amen? I'm not going to be prosperous. I am prosperous. Okay, so my food cupboard might be bare, but I am prosperous. Because when I begin to walk in that attitude, when I begin to walk in that kind of faith, my food cupboard has to come in line with where my faith is. Amen? And sometimes I allow my faith to come down to where my food cupboard is. Oh, oh my, oh woe is me, oh my. You know? No. What's wrong with you? You're empty. I'm divinely blessed. I'm prosperous. Hey, during the week something begins to happen. It's full. Boom. Why? Because I'm trusting God on what He said, but I'm also trusting God on what He's already done. Let me ask you a question. When was all of this done? 2,000 years ago on a cross. Jesus Christ became a divine substitute. Jesus was made poor so that we can become rich. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions so that by His stripes we may be healed. When did He take the punishment upon Himself? 2,000 years ago. When was healing already released for me? 2,000 years ago. Am I healed? Yes, I am. When was I healed? 2,000 years ago. Jesus became a curse for me so that I no longer have to suffer under the curse, but that I can experience the blessings of Abraham. When was I blessed? 2,000 years ago. Am I blessed? You better believe I am. And when the devil comes and tells me that I'm not, shut up. Who you think you are? God already made a plan for me 2,000 years ago. Now you want to come and talk nonsense. I know the truth. Get out of here. I'm blessed. Amen. That's faith. God honors faith. Part of praise. Why do we praise God? That's it. We praise God because we want to say thank you. Now, looking at it from the point of view that I just explained right now, that God is already, you are already healed, you are already prosperous, you are already peaceful, you are already victorious. From that point of view, how many of you have something to praise God for? Everybody. So praise is important because praise shows God that we understand what He has already done for us and we are saying thank you for what we have already received. And that's faith. Do you understand? We need to spend more time praising God because praising God is saying thank you for what God has done. Praise is a form of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude. And gratitude in this sense will be what God has done for me. When we keep our eyes fixed on God, we magnify Him over our needs, our desires, our problems, everything. And that touches the heart of God. And God sees that as faith. And it causes your faith to grow. The next thing that's needed if you want your faith to grow is obedience. We know that God can do anything, right? I mean, come on, you've read the Bible. He can open the sea and He can let you walk through on dry ground. He can destroy the entire Egyptian army in a second. He can touch the rock and it can sprout water in the desert. He can speak to the dead and they rise. Amen. He can multiply food substance. Phenomenal. God can do anything. Now, even though God can do all of these things, one thing that is important for us to remember is we play a role. You see, here's the thing. God is God. God is the provider. God is the healer. God is the redeemer. God is the deliverer. God is the savior. Now, why is it that not everybody down here experiences God in that way if God never changes? Because the Bible teaches us God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if God never changes, then how is it that not everybody experiences Him in the same way? Because not everybody experiences God through how they relate to Him. You see, some people find it difficult to have faith in God. Therefore, they will not experience Him as the healer. And other people, even though they to some extent have faith in God, they only want to obey God in certain things, but in other things it's like, doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. I want to remind you that what is a big deal is determined by God, not by you. The big deal for God is obedience. Amen? God expects obedience from His people. Now, faith and obedience work together. How can we claim that we have faith in God? In other words, it's like, yes, 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 I have faith in God, but when His Word tells you do this, it's like, no, I don't have to do it. Then how do you have faith in God? How do you show God faith if the Word says do this, but you constantly do that, but you want to tell God, oh, please, I need more faith because I have faith in you. By your actions, you are showing God you actually don't have faith in Him. And you must understand, you can't only choose to have faith in this portion of the Bible. You've got to have faith in every portion of the Bible. Amen? Our obedience to God's Word confirms our faith in God's Word. You see, here's the thing. You want to have faith in God's Word when it says you are prosperous. But you don't want to have faith in God's words when it says, thou shalt not covet, or thou shalt not be envious, or thou shalt not lie. You either have faith or you don't. Now, they say actions speak louder than words. And it's also true when it comes to this stuff. A lot of people want to tell God how much faith they have. God will decide for Himself how much faith you have based on the life that you live. You know what? There's a lot of people that's in for a big shock one day when they stand before God. Because their own lies have sort of messed with their mind to the place that they believe their own lies, that they believe that they are men and women of great faith. But the rest of the world looks at their life and like, man, you live like a heathen. Oh, no, I have faith. How do we know? And how will God one day judge you? Not by what you said, but by what you did. Amen? You gotta live it. So you want to grow in faith, start being obedient to God. When God's Word expects you to do something, do it. It shows God you have faith in His Word. And if you have faith in His Word in one respect, then when you trust Him in His Word in another respect, He'll be there for you. And He'll add to your faith. James 2 verse 14 says, what good is it, brothers, if a man claims to have faith, but he has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? In other words, he says, your faith and your deeds must speak together. Otherwise, you got no faith. And by deeds, we must do what the Word of God says we need to do. The next thing that's important if you want to grow in the area of faith is your testimony. Revelation 12 verse 11 says, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In this passage, we see how much power there is in the testimony of a believer. You see, we sometimes, I've said this before, and unfortunately I have to keep on saying this because I see in South Africa, we have a massive problem when it comes to testifying what God has done. And I can't understand why. In fact, I want to tell you something. It blows my mind. Because you know what? God says, if you will not praise me, I will get the rocks and the stones to praise me. Testimony is a form of praise to God. It's not looking good in front of others or like, I'm the man. It's giving glory to God if the attitude is right. But this is necessary because there is always other people going through the same trial and tribulation. And when you get up, you first give glory to God, you give thankfulness, which will praise, which will in a sense cause your faith level to grow. And it'll also touch the faith level of the people sitting there. Now remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If your testimony helps somebody else in the area of faith, you have sown faith into their life. What will happen in your life? You will reap faith. So if my testimony causes you to have more faith in God, then I will have more faith in God next time. Then why on earth do we battle to testify? It just blows my mind. You know, many times we have a phenomenal weekend. We see God do so many miracles. And the next week we say, is there anybody that would like to testify? Nothing. How does that work? Come on. You see, we live in a culture where we like don't do stuff like that, but that's the wrong culture. That's not the biblical way. We need to give God praise. We need to give God glory. We need to testify. You know, there's a lot of people that want to conquer the devil, but the devil's not going to be afraid of you because you got no testimony. If you have a testimony, you share it. Whether it be big, whether it be small, doesn't matter, because in you as a person, it does something when you testify. And for the people sitting there listening, it does something when you testify. It creates an atmosphere of faith. Now, if faith is needed to please God, and testimonies bring about faith, how pleased is God when we testify? Come on, it's a no-brainer. We need to testify. Oh, but what are people going to think of me? Oh, you know, everybody thinks I had no problems. That's your problem. You got too much pride. Let me get you to understand something. Everybody's got problems. And the wonderful thing is we serve a God that will help us with our problems. Oh, no, I can't tell people that God healed my marriage. Then they know I had problems with my wife. So what? A lot of people have problems with their wife. God helps you. Oh, I can't tell people that I couldn't pay my rent. Why not? You're too proud to admit that God helped you? You should. Come on. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Do it with the right motive and God will bless you. Do it with the right motive and faith will grow in the hearts of the listeners and faith will grow in your own heart. These things are important. Faith conquers Satan's attacks. Now listen here. At any given time, even in the church, because let's face it, doubt is not for unbelievers. What must they doubt? Doubt works with believers because it wants you to doubt the word of God. It wants you to doubt that God is able. It wants you to doubt that there will be victory. Come on. Doubt is a church-going demon. And there's quite a few of them here today. It's time for them to go. Things like doubt, things like fear, things like hopelessness, despair, etc., etc. All of these things get attacked when people testify. Because if somebody is sitting here and they are in exactly the same boat that you were in 2 weeks ago and they hear what God did for you, it shows them there is hope. It proves to them that God is not a liar. It tells them God is truly the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's how the devil loses when people testify. Faith has nothing to do with what we can achieve. It has everything to do with who we believe in. Amen. Regardless of where you are in your life right now, allowing your faith to grow will see you through to victory. And I don't think it's that difficult. There's a couple of steps here that all of you can apply. In fact, you can apply all of these steps. It's going to cost you nothing. Amen. Amen. Did anybody learn something today? Yes. Give the Lord a big hand. Do you want to testify? All right, come testify.
Can I start? everyone knows me and my husband have been going through a lot of stuff. We lost our business a couple of years ago. And then I was surprised with a pregnancy this year. But I started sowing and trusting God for provision for everything because now we need to pay bills. There's a new one on the way. I don't have furniture. I don't have nothing. But God's been providing a lot of things for me. And there were some things that I needed that I thought, okay, you know what? I need to pay because the medical aid that we joined, I was already pregnant. They're not covering the labor and they're not covering the pregnancy. So a lot of the money goes towards that. And then I said, you know, I don't need the baby's room to be dressed up with a cot and whatever. Right now I've got my camping cot. I've got everything that I need, you know, the basic stuff. And I was quite chuffed with what I had. And I've been saying and I've been prophesying every week and trusting God for everything. And in the week, a dear friend sent me a message that they've got a chest of drawer and a baby cot for me. I didn't tell anyone anything. I didn't ask anyone for anything. This came out of the blue from this person, and that saves me at least 10,000 rand.
Amen. Well, God does know what we need.
I want to say thank you to God. He's faithful. He is faithful. Don't ever doubt that.
Amen. Praise God.